Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Oscar Lopez. I'm your host, and welcome to Gridiron Views Radio on Sunday. So I hope everybody had a great event for their father today and had a great barbecue and exciting. I was on Twitter, and there's a lot of excitement over it, everybody spending their day with their dad, and I ended up calling my dad this morning as well. So I hope everybody's having a great time. We have a great show today lined up in the Noja Football Huddle. We have Football Canada's Amy Kowalski of the WWCFL Regina Riot. We also have Jen Welter, who's out of the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Football Alliance, and she's part of Team USA that's going to go to Finland. So both of them are going to get ready to go to Finland. We got about 2 weeks till we get to Finland, the end of this month, and then the first week of July. So it's exciting times for them, and we'll see where they're at in terms of their team scope, find out what they're doing so far up to this point, and see what we can find out from them in terms of getting ready for the tournament. It's a huge event. It's a major women's gridiron event. It's sponsored by IFAF. IFAF's the global governing body of the of American football. So it's going to be a great event happening in Vantaa, Finland. So we'll get into the Noja Football Huddle with Amy here so in a couple minutes here, and then we'll move on with Jen at about half the hour or so, a little bit past the hour, and we'll talk to, like I said, football and the World Championships, which is the major events going on. A lot of excitement going on this weekend, a lot of football that happened this weekend, so we'll go into a little bit of detail into that in the two-minute drill towards the end, but I will have to say we had some sad news this week, just this week alone. Stephanie Manu of the Lingerie Football League, which is now the Legends Football League, Canadian branch, amazing star. She won the championship with the BC Angels. She has decided to obviously not participate in the 2013 upcoming LFL Canada season, which is going to be here in about 2 months or so, 3 months, for the same reasons that obviously Tessa Barrera and others. We talked to Audrey Lasko last week as well. So the lack of compensation in the Legends Football League, to the top-notch players that obviously are contributing to their game, has made decisions for some of these top players to just step away until something is done with that. With that same token, we basically are kind of happy in that sense. There's a new league out and about. It's on the horizon, June 22nd in Dallas, Texas. Former Lingerie Football League star Linda Brenner, who used to play for the Dallas Desire, is basically coming back to football. There's an exciting buzz over it. She was one of the top quarterbacks in the LFL when it started in 2009. So if you don't know who she is, go to YouTube, check out Linda Brenner, and you can see some of the highlights from her days in the LFL 2009 season, 2010 season. An amazing quarterback. She gets to set foot once again on the gridiron in Dallas, June 22nd, as part of the Women's Arena Football League. And it's going to take off at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. So looking forward to that. They got four teams on the slate from this league. It's an exciting time for them. The ladies will be compensated, from what my understanding is. They will be compensated, insurance coverage and everything else included, for the season slate, not for the year, but obviously for the amount of games that they're playing within that season, they will have a compensation package. So it's an exciting, I would say, moment. It'll be an exciting season to think about, see if everything goes well for the league. It's a progression stage for women's gridiron players to be compensated, whether it be in a smaller amount. But, you know, insurance itself and obviously travel expenses, and you're talking about compensation for the game, maybe a tier system. From my understanding, that it's not a tier system, but from my understanding, obviously it's compensation per game. So it's like basically getting paid completely for the games that you're playing. So for the short term, it's an amazing progressive state. So hopefully that this will set forth to where maybe the 11-on-11 gridiron leagues decide to scale back to afford maybe the insurance and the travel and the compensation for some of the players and some of the teams that are very top-notch teams. And we talked about logistics in the past, about, you know, money and how that comes into play with any type of venture. Hopefully this will progress into that. So happy to announce that there is Women's Arena Football League, June 22nd. It is a compensated state for the women's, for the ladies. It's travel insurance included. So if you want more details, you can go to at WAFL League on Twitter, or you can go on Facebook at facebook.com/ Women's AFL. So Linda Brenner coming back. It's kind of an exciting time for that. Stephanie Manu stepping away. It's not participating in the LFL Canada. Hopefully we will get her on, kind of explain her situation, her decision that she made. But going forward today, we have Amy Kowalski and we have Jen Wilker. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our short format is interactive, and we engage with social media platforms. So if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On our Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to the show using #GB Radio. After any comment, we review the questions and select a handful to address with our huddle guests. You can also call in by dialing 1-714-888-888-7418 to talk to our guests as well. We love the feedback on our show and guests, and you can also leave comments on our Blog Talk Radio comment box below. You can find us on the various social sites, like on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty, on Facebook at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties, and our website at zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. We encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, and information about your league, players, and organization to our Twitter and Facebook pages as well. And we also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding news by using #2MinuteDrill, the number 2, MINDRILL, # before that, on any posts on Twitter. We tally those weekly, and at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're at, where you're going to be at, and what's happening with your team, league, or anything that's coming up that you need the fans to know about. So, example, this weekend is the cutoff date for Saturday, so that was the 15th. So going forward, anything that should have been submitted to us this weekend for the June 22nd, weekending June 22nd. We want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today and bringing you the show and news and notes. I want to give a shout out to Ed Backseat Coach at the WFA Scores, at IWFL, at the WSFL, at Football National, WTF Canada, as well as Chat Canada in Canada, at FEFA Spain, and Touchdown Europe. And Touchdown Europe is the exclusive home of the IFAF World Women's Championship. So if you haven't gone to the site, it's touchdown-europe.net. You can go to Twitter, and it's got the link there as well, Touchdown Europe, at Touchdown Europe. You can go to Facebook, Touchdown Europe, as well on Facebook, and it'll link you there. So they have amazing blogs going on right now, the weekly on the league infos and players, including the upcoming team previews for all the teams in the tournament that are going to stand out. They had Germany, Finland the last couple of weeks, Spain as well, Team USA, and then Canada as well. So it's an exciting time next two weeks, and the championships are going to be in July, until end of June and July. So Touchdown Europe is the exclusive home, like I said, of the IFAF Women's World Championships. So you can go there and get the latest news and stuff. You can always go to USA Football as well, or footballcanada.com as well, to get the latest on those two entities as well. Since we are in the U.S., we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game, whether it be traditional or non-traditional. So the Women's Football Alliance, like we talked about earlier, in full swing with the playoffs. the Independent Women's Football League, which has got two more weeks, and then they get into the playoff swing. The Women's Spring Football League, the Western Women's Canadian Football League, which had their championship this weekend, and we will go into that in the two-minute drill. The Maritime Women's Football League, which is also in their swing. The LFL US, all branches. WAFL, we talked about that. The Women's Arena Football League, which will kick off on June 22nd of this year. The Sugar and Spice Football League in Texas, which is underway as well. The Women's Indoor Football League will take care of that in 2014. The Guam Women's Tackle Football League, which ended their season the last 2 weeks ago. The LNAFA is in Spain as well. The CIFA in Italy. And the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, which will take off in the ACT Women's. And then the Australian swing will take off in about a couple months here. So they're right now they're in training camps and getting ready for their seasons. And the Ladies Gridiron League as well. FFX Mexico had their final. We didn't get the score up, but we will update that on our Facebook page. And the AFFE Mexico as well, the Pretty Girls Football League as well as on in Mexico. So visit us on Facebook under our Like section for all the women's gridiron leagues we follow globally, and you can link there and follow them as well. So let's start the exciting part of our show. Let's get into it with the No Joke Football Huddle. We should have Amy Kowalski here in the No Joke Football Huddle, and she is part of the Regina Riot, of the WWCFL, and she's part of Football Canada, which is going to go to Finland. So let's see if Amy's online here. Oh, Amy,
this
are you
is
on?
Jen Walter.
Oh, Jen, I'm sorry. Oh, well, we'll have you on first. I think Amy was supposed to call in. So Jen, Jen's part of USA Football and the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Football Alliance. And she is going to go to Vantaa, Finland, starting in about 2 weeks or so, right, Jen?
Yes, I can't wait. Our first game in Finland is actually on June 30th, so it's getting very close.
Now, I have something to just kind of talk about. I saw the bracket for the WFA. Maybe you can clarify some things. So there were some teams that obviously dropped off because of whatever reasons on the forfeits and stuff like that. So the whole scene has been kind of like this whole week one of the playoffs was really a tester as to who stands out. And I can see that week two is going to be the real test. Is that pretty much a clear picture of the WFA playoffs?
Yeah, I think week two will be big. I think actually week three you'll really, really start to see, because then you'll be out of division, so you'll really start to see the conference, the bigger matchups. But week two is going to be a lot more of a shakeout than week one was. I don't think there were a lot of surprises going into week one.
No, it wasn't. There were some surprises that came out of it. You know, the Majestics were undefeated the whole season, and then all of a sudden, they go face Utah, which is 6-2, and then boom, get bounced off. And I think that's
right.
That was the exciting part with some of the teams. You know, the lower class 5-3 teams, or 6-2 teams, or a 4-4 team, could literally surprise in the first round of the playoffs, and we saw that yesterday. So that was kind of exciting, for some of us fans to kind of like look into that and go, oh my God, really? They got knocked off. And given the fact that they had been on
that.
A steamroll.
Yeah, we did that in Dallas, too, because we'd heard, how great the Seattle Majestics are. We actually played them in the playoffs, in the semifinals in 2008 before we went on to win Chicago. So, the Seattle Majestics have been a really strong team for a while. We were looking forward to playing them. So it's unfortunate that they got knocked out, but I guess that means that, Utah's got a little bit up their sleeves.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited right now after the, the results came in. I was talking on Twitter with Backseat Coach, who covers pretty much the Boston Militia and all that. So kind of exciting. It's going to be Dallas and Austin Outlaws, and that's kind of an in-state rivalry for you guys, right?
Yeah, it is. They're a good team. They basically – they've been around a long time in women's football, so any team that's been around a long time is going to kind of rise to the top. They did a reshuffle a couple of years ago, so they haven't been quite the Austin Outlaws of old, but they have some really talented athletes, like Shadonna Hurd is one of them. And so we're always, we're always looking forward to each game one at a time. And, Shadon is definitely someone who has the speed to put some points up on the board and to break away. So, you know, we are looking forward to it.
So, Jen, I'm going to throw some things up to you. Maybe you can just kind of dwell on them because this is a huge, huge week two, round two. And for those, you know, fans that obviously don't follow the WFA so closely like we do, it's probably not as exciting, but Fresno's pretty exciting. Now, take into account, let's say, Miami, who was in battling with Tampa Bay the whole season, and all of a sudden, you know, Miami gets a forfeit from the Savannah Sabres, which is unfortunate. So, but now they go into it. I think they take on I think it's Atlanta Phoenix, which Atlanta, I think, was undefeated for most of the season as well. And then you got the Slam back in the groove after, I think, from last year. And they're no slouches. I mean, they're former champs as well. And they're taking on the upstart Kansas City Titans, which started off the season pretty well until they ran into that roadblock against the Chicago Force. So can you tell me a little bit about on the scene? I mean, who are you excited? I mean, at this point, you got Austin. You got the Outlaws, right? So you're going to take on you would take on the Slam or the Titans, depending on the outcome of that game. Is that correct?
Yes, and you know, and the Titans, we have a lot of history with. I mean, the majority of the players from the Titans, although they were, you know, a team last year, they really have a good, solid core of the Kansas City Tribe, including Jenny Schmidt and you know the Sauer Twins and some real powerhouses in women's football. So we think of Kansas City, I personally do, and I know that a lot of my teammates would agree with me, as one of our closest rivals because we do tend to see them early round in the playoffs. Although they're not an in-state rival, they are definitely one of our good battles that we have had throughout the history of their franchise. And we think of the Titans as a continuation of the Kansas City Tribe. So that's something that, you know, the people who are like, well, who are these Titans and what have they done? Well, you know, look at it as a version of the Kansas City Tribe, the Bolt. We were really surprised to see that Chicago blew them out of the water like they did. But, you know, Chicago, I haven't seen them. I've seen a little bit of film on them this season, but they're always a force to be reckoned with, you know, in women's football. I mean, the coaching staff, obviously that's the USA coaching staff, both Konecki and the Stevenson coordinator. So you always know that there's going to be a battle, you know, and they have Sammy Grisafi. She's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Will also be a two-time quarterback for Team USA. Jenny Schmidt was an original Team USA quarterback. So we really looked for that to be closer. Unless there are injuries I don't know about on Kansas City, my bet would be on them to take on St. Louis. I know they've had some back and forth with them. That's kind of one that they have a little bit of history with. But I would expect to see the more seasoned Kansas City Tribe coming through, and that would be who we anticipate playing right after we get back from the USA National. So.
All right. Well, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting. The tiers are now kind of setting into place, like I said, and kind of gives you a nice feedback. You got Militia against Passion. I mean, that's always a great game. That's almost like, you know, that, like I said, the Eastern clashes, which is the Divas and the Militia and all those. So you got that. The surprise team, I think, that I was surprised at for the most part was really the Cleveland Fusion for the year. I think nobody was watching that, and I think they kind of proved themselves in week one. You know, 35-6, they beat the Michigan Mayhem. So I think that's going to be surprising, but they take on the Force. So it's going to be a real test to see how well their game was from week one to week two. But, you know, it's a great step for that organization because I know they were not a top-notch, you know, organization, but now it seems like they're coming together. So it's kind of a positive in that sense for that region, given the fact that they got out. I'm going to throw it out there, given the fact that it's Cleveland Brown fans area. So maybe the Brown fans will get on the Fusion. Just to throw it out there, you know what I mean? Maybe everybody needs to come to support the Fusion, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I mean, it's exciting for me to see shakeups in women's football. That's always one of the best things to see because that means other teams are getting better, competition's getting stronger, and as long as that happens, the fan base will grow. So, you know, like I said, my heart goes out to you, the girls with Injustice, because, you know, we played them in 2008. They were a great team to play against, you know, a good organization. We had a blast out in Seattle. I mean, it's gorgeous. Although we're probably going to be home throughout the playoffs, we had all decided that, you know, being out in Seattle for a game would not be too bad. Plus, it's not nearly as hot as it here is here in Texas. But, you know, seeing those shakeups, that's what brings new fans into the game. You know, that's what gets people from Utah excited, you know, seeing different teams win. I mean, it's got to happen, you know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's why I'm saying it's like, and then it was kind of exciting to see that the national championship's actually going to be in a nice weather area, which is San Diego. Not to say that Pittsburgh was a bad area or anything like that, but for the most part, you know, Balboa Stadium, a scenery right next to the ocean area right now in San Diego, that's a great venue. And Silver Sport, you know, participating once again this year, that's kind of votes well for the WFA, and I think in a positive way, because it's a former NFL stadium. It's a huge college stadium. So it's a great
yeah.
venue in that area, I think, for Balboa. So, you know, I'm looking forward to round two because of the fact, like I said, you're going to have a Militia against Passion. I mean, Passion is,
mm-hmm.
and Militia. I mean, you can put equate it to like
Redskins
and Giants.
That's
going to
be a battle.
In
yep.
that sense. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then you got DC,
and, you know, then,
DC against the upstart Columbus. So, I mean, Columbus
mm-hmm.
Comets have kind of been right there, you know, throughout the year. I mean, they haven't done. It's not like an 8-0 team, but, you know, they've held on to where they won their division, and now they're in place, you know, to face the Divas. And Divas are always a tough team from, you know, from history and
yeah.
obviously from this year. And then you have
yeah.
the other bracket, which is very surprising, is Utah, like I said, knocking off Majestics. So the Jinx, which is a good Western team from what I can tell, they're going to take on, I believe, the Cal War Angels, which are like 8-0 as well. So there's a potential there for an upset. If anybody's going to upset anybody, it's going to be Utah, because Utah comes in with the lower seeded, in other words, of the undefeated,
sure.
because there's a lot of undefeateds in the second
sure.
round right now. So we'll see who musters that out of it. And then you got the champs still in line. I mean, the champs are going to take on, you know, the historic Sacramento Sirens. So that's going to be kind of a clash matchup there. So in order for Utah upsets, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the game earlier this year between Sacramento and the Surge, I think really shocked a lot of people. Because I know I was kind of talking to some of my friends, and I was like, man, is this the game to watch? You know, this should be a battle of Sacramento. And I got feedback of, you know, well, it retired a lot of players, so they may not be the Sacramento of old. We get done playing our game, and I get, you know, here it is, the Sacramento beat the Surge, and we were all like, what? You know, and again, I mean, we have history with both teams. Both are phenomenal organizations in women's football, but having anticipated that being a battle and then being told, no, you know, Sacramento lost a lot of people, and then they came back and won it in, you know, in a resounding fashion. I mean, I think all eyes should really, other than, of course, Pittsburgh-Boston, because that's a great one, I think, you know, Surge-Sacramento is going to be a really, really telling game.
Yeah, and I think, that, you know, when that first matchup was probably not so much of a reality, because it's early in the season, too, and, you know, there's an opportunity for obviously, you know, a loss in somewhere during the season. But it was kind of surprising to see that there was a lot of teams, you know, the higher-seeded teams, the expected teams, we're doing very well this season. I think that was the surprise in a sense. I mean, nobody
mm-hmm.
doubts that you guys were going to be, you know, 7-1 or 8-0 or, you know, that kind of record. But, you know, you do have, like I said, the other teams that obviously stood out, you know, the Austin, the Outlaws, the Jinx, you had the War Angels out in South. So it's great it's going to be great for round two to see who actually survives and who moves on to the next round. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now in terms of the fundraising and to get ready for Vontaa outside of the playoffs, because the playoffs are going to be on the 22nd, and then are you guys coming back on, I think, July 13th is when you guys swing back for the semifinals, if I'm correct?
What will happen is we are actually, me and a few of my teammates will be literally packing up after our game on the 26th and driving to Chicago, because we have to report to training camp in the afternoon the next day. And so we will be road trip bound directly after the game. Training camp starts, we report on the 23rd and really get into full swing on the 24th. get some good solid work in. And then our first game in Finland is on June 30th, followed by a match against Finland, followed by July 4th against Germany, and then the gold or bronze round, which I anticipate will be in gold because it is our sport. But and that game will take place on July 6th. We fly out July 7th, and then, yes, there are games again that weekend. So,
the whole schedule was literally made around the Worlds tournament, right? That's because that's where the gap is between the 22nd and the 13th. So you guys return.
Yeah.
And, you know, given obviously the given that you win this coming round next, you know, for the 22nd, and then you move on, then you guys would come back and start the semifinals, and then obviously the quarterfinals, and then the semifinals after that. All right. So Jen, who do you feel right now is the favorite? If you had to take yourselves out of it, who would you pick or rent out for a fan? Who would the favorite? Take yourself out right now and just say, there's no diamonds in the mix. We obviously
right,
have
no diamonds.
Though,
there
passion.
Should always be diamonds. Yeah.
Well, we know that.
I'm going to go with Chicago. They have an established team. The girls have been playing together a really long time. Phenomenal quarterback. They picked up Javelin from San Diego, who's an amazing athlete last year. And their coaching staff, obviously, is top-notch. I think they're the team to beat.
Okay, my bracket, let's go with, like, the NCAA feel here for it. My bracket has Dallas Surge for the right to go to the final on one side.
Uh-huh.
So I'm actually giving you some props here. And then on the other side, I have Militia.
Yeah.
What is it? What was
I
that?
I said, there's no way we're not making it to the semis. I've got that. You've got to believe that.
Well, I didn't doubt you. That's what if anything, I did not doubt you. I put you in there.
Yeah. I know.
So it'll be the surge to knock. It'll
be
the surge to knock you out. It'll be the surge to knock you out of anything. I mean, it would be them.
Not the surge this year. Nope.
Yeah. But anyways, I have Dallas. I have Dallas, San Diego as my. You know, and obviously, you know, you got the War Angel fans probably going to just kill me right now because I'm in California. So they're like, what?
War Angels are tough, and I haven't seen film on them. So I don't know if I'd give you Surge over War Angels. I'm torn. I haven't gotten to see enough film to judge them. But the West is tough this year. I mean, again, I thought it was going to be Seattle in there too. So
I will say,
so what's the other side of the bracket?
Yeah, I will say Surge will edge. I will say Surge will edge the War Angels, but I don't know if I want to pick. I don't know if I want to throw the Jinx out yet. The Jinx is kind of like my wild card. It's surprised,
that's
you know,
a little bit of wild
Seattle.
Card too. Yeah.
And if they go into Fresno and take off the War Angels, you know, I know Chantel Wiggins is probably going to go. What is this guy talking about? But if they go into Fresno and knock off Fresno, I mean, knock off the Cal War Angels, then they have to face the Surge. So, but the Jinx, I don't know. I have this feeling that this team is some sort of a little magic this year for some reason. But on the other side, I agree with you. I think it will be the Force. I don't know why you would not think that. I mean, I would say the final there would probably be between Militia and Force once again. And that's always been kind of a clash.
Absolutely.
Anyways. Not to knock off Passion, because Passion fans are going to go, what? What did this guy just say? So, you know,
I love the Passion. I love their whole organization. I think they're one of the best organizations in women's football. But don't forget, my first team was the Mass Mutiny, which is now the Boston Militia. So I have to have a little hometown support there. I love the girls from the Militia. You know, they're really, really talented as well. I don't know as many of them as I used to, but Vicky Eddy, one of the outside linebackers there, is a great gal. We were so excited to see each other at the USA tryouts, and then to see that we'd be playing together again, that was like the linebacker family reunion. You know, we were so excited. So, you know, the Militia is a great team, and I have to say it'll be Militia Force again.
Yeah, and I know, you know, they've been on a roll. I mean, it's not, there's no question that they're probably the better team, you know, by record also, but obviously by scoring. And then you got Whitney Zealy. I mean, 2,000 yards, 34 touchdowns in 7 games. That's like, when I saw mm-hmm. that was like Barry Sanders. Like, that was just Eric mm-hmm. Dickerson, you know. I mean, this girl is, she's got moves. I mean, it's incredible. I saw some highlights that backseat coach sent me, and she's very agile, very versatile, and she does very good cuts, and she's got a lot of potential in it. So I'm pretty sure her numbers are going to end up maybe in the 2100 by when it's mm-hmm. all said and done for the regular season. But, you know, hats off to her, because she obviously has an amazing talent, and that's very rare. But first 2,000-yard rusher in the women's gridiron, from what I can tell and what I researched, that nobody else mm-hmm. has ever done it. So it's a first. I'm hoping they will put her, you know, in Canton, because that's unheard of to put 2,000 yards even in a regular league. You know what I mean? This is a huge league. Your guys' league is top notch huge. So there's no slouch for 2,000 yards for somebody gaining that and 34 touchdowns as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's a great record.
And I know 5,000 yard passers have been kind of a normal for you guys in the league, right? I know Schmidt has done it before. I'm pretty sure Lisa has done it before.
3,000, yeah, she's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of a normal now, I guess, when you have the systems you guys do. And I know you guys are running a 3-4 defense or a 4-3 defense?
We're running 4-3 this year primarily.
4-3? 4-3 defense, and then are you guys on the offensive side? Are you guys pass action, or is it just your traditional handoff to the running game?
No, I mean we have a very diverse offense, but it does tend to run out of spread formation quite a bit because we have so much mobility in Brittany Bushman. She's mobile and she has a great arm. Why wouldn't you use that?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and that's a key right there in that sense. Jen, what do you think of the information so far? I mean, the world championships. You probably expect Canada this time around to be a lot better than it was before. But do you have a
Absolutely.
Sleeper by any chance at this point? Is it Germany, or is it going to be Swedish? Do you have anybody that you think
really
right now for information?
It's really hard to tell. I will say that when we faced Finland the first time, of the teams that we faced, you know, their technique, they were very technically sound. They were very disciplined. I think where they fell apart a little bit, and that's not a knock on them, it was just that second level of football knowledge, meaning like, okay, well, we went to execute this block, but you know, if somebody got through or, you know, somebody just made a great play, it wasn't as much of a football awareness. So I look for them to really be a good team coming in this one. And, you know, you can't overlook Germany. I mean, they had some of the biggest players I have ever seen in my life. And from what I understand, they've been playing football over there for 20 years. So whether, you know, they improved on their team organization, their recruiting, all that stuff. It's just hard to say because we really haven't seen any film, and we won't until we actually get to Finland. So unless you're following individual players, it's really hard to get a feel of, you know, what the teams will bring, which makes it a little bit nerve-wracking and also a little bit exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of exciting. A lot of the fans that, on our Facebook and Twitter pages, a lot of the fans are kind of anticipating, a huge tournament and kind of being a first, you know, to pioneer. And we get a lot of, I get a lot of direct messages going, hey, I had no idea that there's women gridiron. I mean, it's like every other day. And nobody
mm-hmm.
knows it because since we started following them, you know, a year ago, and I started diving into a social geek mode, you know, into the various leagues around the world, you know what I mean? And nobody realizes it. I mean, we just dived into as soon as we got hooked up with Touchdown Europe, we had no idea, like you said right now, we had no idea that there's this realm of, women's Germany in gridiron there. And then you also have the backside
mm-hmm.
over in Spain. And then now you have the women's game in Italy.
Oh, that's
Italy.
True. Spain's another one. Spain wasn't there last time. So, you know, we have no idea what to expect from Spain. I mean, talking about improvements, you know, that's just a completely different animal. So that's really exciting as well.
So, you know, most people think of it as it's not global, but in reality, it's totally global. I mean, it's just sad that nobody's realized it yet, but I think it's a positive step forward with IFAF. As soon as this tournament's over, I think next year's tournament's going to be bigger. People are going to start to realize that, obviously, oh, my God, there's, you know, eight countries play American football in the women's game.
There's more than that. I mean, think about it. There's Australia, there's Mexico. There's a couple other places as well that have it, but just haven't organized leagues. I mean, I've gotten messages from girls all over the world who either do play, want to play, are trying to, all of those things. So, you know, it is much bigger than a lot of people realize. And, you know, it's exciting. Like I went over to Australia last year to help Ella Schultz with the ladies football league over there. And, you know, there's a good buzz going about women's football over in Australia, you know, and clearly they have people who have grown up around tackle sports. So, you know, just learning the game of gridiron is different, but, you know, there's a good history of tough sports there. I mean, I always credit my rugby roots and my success in football because that's how I learned how to tackle. And then they gave me pads and a helmet and had no fear. So, you know, it's a really an amazing time for women's football, and for somebody who's been doing it as long as I have, it, you know, it makes me really, really proud.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the whole process, you know, Australia will get kickstarted in 2017, and that's a huge movement because late winter for us, but obviously it's the summer for them or whatever. It's going to be a situation where, like you said, you have the Ladies Football League in Australia kicked off. You're going to have the Legends version of the football, you know, in December. And then you're going to have the female gridiron leagues of Queensland. You got the ACK Women's League out of, you know, also Australia. There's going to be like four or five leagues. They're going to be sort of playing in the same motion that we are here in America with the WFA, the IWFL, and the WCC, you know, and all that. So Australia is going to be kind of a little hotbed for that.
I know, which I hate to an extent, though. I mean, really, ladies, if we want this sport to progress, we need to get all the talent together. It shouldn't be us fighting each other. There's enough splits in it. It really needs to get together and put the best product on the field to compete against the best product, because that's where you build loyalty and that's where you show, you know, what's truly possible in this game. I mean, I hate the separation in women's football. There needs to be a lot more you know, of a cohesive effort and a cohesive message.
Yeah, I think it'll happen at some point. At this point, like we talked about previously before, you know, with logistics, I talked to Jeanette Gray, I've talked to everybody else, and we've talked prior to this before. I really think it's a situation where, you know, the existing leagues need to take into account, like you said, you know, putting together some sort of strategic, obviously money talks, so we need to come up with a plan for logistics. You know, you can put out more teams all you want, but if you scale back, if you scale back a little bit, you can put the same model the Legends Football League has, I think would be great for women's 11-on-11. Because if you think about it, there's only 12 teams there, and the markets that league is in, this league can have the same market. I mean, you have an existing Chicago Force market. You got an existing Boston, you know. So it's really a matter, and we know that it boils down to sponsorship and it boils down to logistics in terms of travel and getting, you know, and getting the players in and out to those venues. And it's a lot more of an issue trying to haul 20 players versus trying to haul 53 players, which is, you know, that's the reality, of course. So, but, you know, it can be done either with a six league slate to scale back for logistics, or maybe a 12-league, you know, premiere. But, you know, at some point somebody's going to do it. And hopefully at some point, you know, we plan to kind of dive in and see if we can make a difference in that sense too. But, you know, so we're early into this game, into the love of this game. So hopefully down the road in another year or two or three, we'll get some sort of, you know, our geekiness will come out, and maybe we can put some numbers together and get some people involved. It's really about, you know, it's really about networking. It really is. And if we can get some people to network and get some, I mean, I always equate this conversation to somebody that I was talking to 2 weeks ago was, you know, the UFL, the United Football League that started, that was supposed to challenge the NFL, you know, about 18 months ago, and they faltered. Well, you know, you can't go against a giant. You have to kind of like make friends with it. So I think this is a good start. You know, you have to, IFAF is a good start, and then hopefully USA Football will get behind it. And then at some point, you know, logistics don't become a problem.
USA Football,
and then all of a sudden you take it.
USA Football sponsors the women's USA team.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like at some point maybe they will take it into a state of branching out and going, hey, we can put 6 to 7, 8 teams just to get this game elevated.
You know, I want to give USA Football a big shout-out because, you know, Sam Rappaport, who's with USA Football, has been a phenomenal force within women's football. And she just, you know, I swear if I have like a – you know, a visual image of Sam, it's like she picked up women's football and put it on her shoulders and brought it to USA Football in like a duffel bag, you know, and they kind of looked at it the first time around and they're like, yeah, you want to do this Team USA thing, okay, and, you know, kind of shook their heads. But you know, think about how much progress there is. In 2010, when we all applied to play on Team USA, there wasn't even a budget for a tryout. There was not staff, support, whatever. So it was all on film and letters of recommendation, and the coaches really went in and did their due diligence on players that way. Look how far in 3 years later we came when, without a league distinction, meaning any women's football player in this country, whether she played in the lingerie, sorry, refuse to call it Legends, you haven't done anything yet league, or if it was, you know, the WFA or the IWFL, could try out, could come to an open tryout and say, I am the best in women's football and I want to represent the United States of America. And over,
yeah,
you know, and
great.
Around
I mean, that was,
200 women. Yeah, and I mean, around 200 women from all across the country came into this open tryout and put their best out there for 2 days to really get on this team. And you can tell that, you know, of course, people will say, oh, it's politics and this, that, and the other. Well, okay, 45 women on the first one, 45 on the second. Only 14 of us will be repeating representing the United States. So I'm sorry, when I say the competition was tough, it was tough. You know, there are great athletes on that team, and it went beyond league distinctions, and USA Football did that. And when we went to the end of it, you know, some of the guys even admitted, they said, you know, we didn't know. We really just kind of rolled our, you know, we didn't realize what it was going to be like. And they're like, and yet when we got here and you guys were here and you were all in, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever been a part of. And you have made fans in USA Football that, you know, we already had Sam as a fan, but now hopefully she has a fan club, you know, started. It is not just the Sam show anymore. And so that to me speaks really highly of USA Football. And, you know, I don't have enough good things to say about them. You know, they've been a part of two of the most significant positive experiences of my life now. So I look forward to growing a great relationship because they do have that influence and they do have that relationship with the NFL. And, you know, if a logical progression could be shown, it would probably be that one.
Well, and I think the potential is there. We've talked about it before. It's going to take maybe 4 tournaments before maybe Roger Goodell starts looking at it and supporting that. I mean, they obviously support NFL Europe, which is literally, I would say, a bust in a lot of ways. But, you know, when it boils down to it, if it can be logistically done, I'm pretty sure they would be the organization to obviously do it because they're the ones that obviously have the better pull for it. But, you know, the example has to be set, like you said, and that's the first step. If USA Football supports it, and given the fact that it's a feeder system to begin with anyways, because that's where their talent comes out of. It doesn't come out of the NCAA. It comes out of some of the top talent, juniors or seniors, you know, some of the top male players are basically being scoped for the combine, from the NFL, from the USA tournament, from the world tournament.
Sure.
Because that's where the top players are, like you said. That's where, you know, everybody shows up. Everybody from every country,
okay.
I mean, shows up to those tournaments. And who's not going to scout that? I mean, considering,
right.
you know, the NFL is international. So it's a good sign, I think,
yeah.
in that. I think 2017, I'm really looking forward to 2017 because you get Australia in the mix. If you keep Spain into that mix with Germany and everybody else, I think you will start to see the real growth, or the excitement over it. And that's going to be a beautiful
sure.
setting, you know, to have that. Cause I know Australia right now is probably just, you know, great about, you know, what they're doing right now to get started. But, you know, 2 years from now, they're going to be totally excited to get into a competition
oh,
state
yeah.
where, like you said, you pull all these women from one country in the similar state that you just talked about, you know, for USA football. And you're going to see the best of the best in the country show up and put together
sure.
probably the best team they can put up. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Jen, the potential for you to be a coach going forward, I mean, if the opportunity persists there, or are you pursuing your own personal goals at this point? I've asked everybody that question. If we get to the stage of 2017 and then maybe the next tournament after that and all of a sudden things do evolve, would you come back to coaching at some point to do coaching for maybe a female gridiron team? That would be for maybe.
Oh my gosh! If they wanted me to coach that, I would absolutely do it. I mean, yeah, I love the game and I love the representation of the game and the growth. And as I tell everybody, it will always be a part of my life. It's just what part it is, you know, will vary based on where I am in my life. But I will always be a fan. I will always be an outspoken supporter. You know, hopefully one day I'll have a little more pull than I do now just being a player, but you know, that's what we do as we progress in life, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. Now I'm going to pick your brain because, I know you're the best person I can pick your brain on. Just you know, in a positive way, of course. We have the arena, the women's
so
arena
you know.
Football league. No problem. The women's arena football league. That's going to kick off in Dallas, of all places, on June 22nd at,
mm-hmm.
At the American Airlines Center. And based on the feedback that I got and a conversation that I had with some of the insider people that I know, this is going to be an 8-on-8 style game, for example, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to be compensated. This is totally different than the Legends League, and you probably heard me at the top of the hour. There's a couple players in the Legends League that obviously have abandoned ship and not participated because of the fact that obviously there's no insurance for coverage to travel and all the other logistic intangibles. And they're not going to put their bodies on the line unless there's obviously some sort of compensation to come along with it. So do you
mm-hmm.
feel at this point, it's a first step? I don't know what it's going to turn out because they're only going to play, like, I think 3 months. So given the 3-month window, they, as far as I was told, they will be compensated per game. They will get their travel and insurance coverage as well. So what do you think of that in that sense?
I think it's a great step. My questions would be, you know, how long have these girls been playing? Where have they been playing? What's their level? Like, and this came up with the Legends or the Lingerie League. Sorry, I can't call them Legends. You know, that to me is something that's earned with time. You know, I think the USA team, those are legends of women's football, and that's not degrading the girls who are doing it to any extent. I actually don't really have a problem with the league. I was the original Dallas coach. I did coach Linda Brenner when she first played football. So, you know, take that for what you will. My question is, what is the level of play in the game relative to those who have been playing all along? Because I can guarantee you that I could field a team right now, you know, with the Dallas Diamonds or with some of the girls that I know, whatever, that could beat any 8-on-8 team out there without a question.
Yeah, and that's
so
why I'm,
what
that's
is
why
the
I'm,
level of
that's
play
why I'm picking your brain. That's why I'm picking your brain right now, because it's going to, as far as I'm told, it is not lingerie style. It is full kit, indoor arena, similar to the AFL, similar to the NFL. It's just 8-on-8.
So my question my question is, if they have a Dallas team, why have they not recruited the, you know, the best players in Dallas? You know,
that
who,
I don't know, but that would be a great question to ask. Maybe I'll throw a direct message out there and find out. But
you know,
I know, really, honestly,
but it's the first season, and you're coming into an established market with established players, and the first thing you did is not go after the players who, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I've played for 13 years. There's definitely not a player in the lingerie league that I would be frightened of or don't think I could take down. So why, if you are not going after the lingerie league model, and this is real football, this is full kit, why are you targeting the former LFL players as opposed to, you know, some of the very well-established players in women's football? That, to me, you know, is a little hinky. You know, that's a little hinky. Like, what is your sport about? Are you just another version of the lingerie league, or do you really want to put on really good women's football? Because your goals, you know, it doesn't have to be two different goals. Like, you know, it's just about where are you targeting and who's running it. You know, I love Linda Brenner. I have a great respect for her. We used to have a blast, and she worked very, very hard with me. But do I put her up against Brittany Bushman, my quarterback, for the Dallas Diamonds? No way.
Well, of course not.
You know,
I mean, you're talking a totally different level in that regard.
If this is what you're going at, you're going for real football now, where do you draw the line?
Totally good question. I mean, that's a valid question. Like I said, I'll throw it out there because that's really a question we have to answer. You know, why would you not? Because you're only scaling down from what, three players on each side.
Yeah.
So it's not like
it's not a different game. I mean,
right, exactly.
But like,
exactly.
I'm sorry, I do eight on eight arena. It's not complicated. Yeah, we do it all the time.
Yeah, you do eight
you
on
know,
eight.
That's so how we practice
in non-traditional anyway. So
yeah,
but you know. So, Jen, being in Dallas, being that you know Linda and somewhat, do you think you're going to be inclined to go check it out on the 22nd or kind of check out and see what it's all about?
You know, I can't go watch them because, remember, I'm playing. And I'll be leaving for the USA team again the next day, so it's really not a priority for me.
Taking the information out and see how they're doing and stuff. But I'll throw it out there because I wanted to throw it out to you because it's your, in your hometown. Kind of getting a feel
right,
of
right, but
know,
I have a game that
why
same
would
night.
They do that?
I have a game that
no,
same night, so
right, no,
you know,
I understand completely.
It's not a viable option. I mean, you know,
right.
Again, I question what their model is and stuff, and what the overall quality is. If you're not targeting, if you want to be, you know, 11-on-11, full gear, we're playing real football, you know, but yet you're not targeting the people who are real football players. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a good question. Like I said, it's very valid. So maybe we'll throw it out there in that regard. Or maybe it's a situation where, you know, they're going to build on it and maybe pursue it for the next season. Because I know it's going to be a short season from what I'm told. It's going to be just like a three-month season. So, given how they do at the gate, it's gonna be that'll be a big factor in terms of going forward for another season. So that's it's like we talked about before. It's all about logistics. So if they don't fare well at the gate, that's a big center to fill anyways because that's you know that's NBA style arena and major arena. So depending on how they do there. So Jen, I know Amy bailed out on us for. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it. I know I had her plan on here.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Like that. But so I kind of kept it a little longer, so I apologize for that.
No problem.
Awesome. So, Jen, you're going to fly out, you said the 26th, is that correct? 22nd on the game and then the 26th?
No, it's a little past the 26th, I think, in training camp, because our first game is in Finland on the 30th. I forget which day we leave, though.
Oh, okay. So you're actually leaving after the you're leaving after the 22nd against Austin, right? Once you get through the Austin game against the Outlaws.
Yes.
And
we
then
will
you guys
be all packed
off.
Up and ready. Yes.
Okay, great. Now, are you? I have a Twitter question from one of our fans. Will you
okay.
be updating your Facebook page frequently or your Twitter page frequently with arrivals and, you know, are we going to be able to feel Jen Welter on Twitter or Facebook in terms of her trip? In other words, you know, hey, I guess they want to see you hanging out. I guess they want to see you hanging out with, you know, how your adventure is going. I guess that's the question.
Oh, yes. You know, I love to post my adventures. Well, hopefully, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, the social media director for USA Football contacted me a little bit back and asked me if I might be interested in officially blogging and posting on their behalf. And I told her, absolutely, I would love to. So hopefully that comes to fruition. You know, I don't know what the logistics are. It is a little challenging in another country because, you know, you don't just have your cell phone right there to be able to do everything. But I do plan on getting as much out there as I can because, you know, I've had such tremendous support and fundraising this season. I mean, all of my USA fees that we had to raise for to go over and play came through donations. And it was donations from all across the country, you know, $30 here, some up to $1,000. But, you know, I felt very, very blessed to have had that support because, you know, it is really challenging to come up with that amount of money. But I raised, I think, around $3,500 just on my GoFundMe website and through blogging and getting people involved. So I would feel remiss if I did not keep those updates as current as possible, you know, obviously contingent on technology.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. I mean, because you go overseas, like you said, there's other intangibles behind it. But if you're going on the site,
yeah, when we were in Sweden last time, when we were in Sweden last time, it was almost impossible. But I'm anticipating if they ask me to do it for USA Football, they have some kind of a mechanism where we'll be, you know, I'll be able to tap in. So I'm hoping that will be the case.
Well, you have just put a smile on, obviously, the person that sent that question. So that was, you know, positive feedback right there already. So we are looking forward to Jen Welter insights and tidbits throughout the, you know, the journey, obviously, to Vantaa and on the way back or so. So
yes,
Jen, you guys are meeting
I'll
together.
I'll be really bored in the car. What?
I said, you guys are all meeting together in one place and then exiting out of that, or is everybody flying out of different locations at this point to Finland? Because I know the Canadian team is exiting from two different areas. You know, the East Coast squad's going off of New Brunswick, and then the Western squad's going off of, I think, Saskatoon, flying out of there. So are you guys meeting in the same location, or you guys are flying out separately?
Yes, we will all fly out directly from Chicago. We have the training camp there where everybody gets together, and it's, as I've told a few people coming out of, you know, 2010, it was one of the most intense experiences of my life, but also one of the most rewarding because as a women's football player, you know, we get to live life and then go to football practice. You know, it's not like our life gets to revolve around football. And for the first time when we were at training camp in 2010, we all got to really eat, sleep and breathe football, and it was an amazing experience because everyone there was on the same page. You know, there was no me, this, that, and the other. There was no, oh, this is my team, your team. Nope, everybody was one page, red, white, and blue, and that's how we did. And I will have those friends on that team, you know, that original 45, I know for the rest of my life. And, you know, I anticipate, I guess, an additional, you know, 30-something this time, seeing as how summer repeats. But, you know, it'll be great. And I look forward to, you know, the trip from going all together from Chicago, last time it was from Austin over to Sweden was pretty amazing as well because, you know, everybody has their USA gear on and it's one look and it's a traveling team and people are asking, and what is this? And, oh, my gosh, we didn't even know women played. So, you know, it becomes a really just a very memorable experience. And I think it helps a lot of people really become aware of the level of prominence of women's football.
Great. All right. Well, then, Jen, I wish you safe travels. We are going to be anticipating obviously your tweet or Facebook or USA blog posting, because obviously our fans are already engaged in that. And so we are going to keep up to date on literally on a microscope state for you. We're going to be like probably stalking your Twitter feed every day just to see if we can retweet something.
Well, that's perfect. And, you know, please tell people, you know, Facebook me, like mention my name in something if you want to get it. Or, you know, on Twitter, like send it directly to me, because when it does, I think you notice that I really do try and respond in terms of, you know, retweets, answering questions, all of those things. But if you just post something general on a timeline, like on Facebook, I won't see it unless I'm tagged into it, because usually I'm getting it through a notification on my phone. So especially being gone, it will be overwhelming. So if you have something directly for me, or a question or a request or, you know, whatever it is, please send it to me directly. I will do absolutely my best to keep everybody engaged.
All right, then I will wish you safe travels, like I said before, and I look forward to, obviously, you guys coming home with some sort of a huge victory and a challenge, obviously, at the tournament. So thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. We'll keep in touch up to that point, and then looking forward to the WFA, playoffs. Hopefully, at this point, it's a positive for the Diamonds, and then going into the semifinals when you get back. So thank you for your time again. I appreciate it. And I hope that you guys
have a
great time.
Rest of your show. Oh, we will. Oh, that's a done deal.
All right, Jen. Thank you. Have a great afternoon and safe travels out there.
Great. You guys have a great rest of your show. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Jen Walter. And let's see if we have is it Amy on? Amy?
Yep.
Hey, Amy, how's it going today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So we just got through USA Football, so we got a little bit of time here to kind of dive into Football Canada. I know Jen was excited to get going here for Vanta. So can you tell us a little bit about the excitement building up here? I know you guys are probably working towards that now, since it's getting closer and closer within the next, 10 days or so?
Yeah, for sure. We just finished up our league, we had our league final yesterday, so now it's time to focus on heading to Finland and getting ready for that.
What did you think of the
well-played game. It was fun to watch. There was lots of nice hits and lots of good athletic players out there. Kept me engaged for the whole 60 minutes. So,
and I know it started to rain at some point throughout the towards the latter part of the game, so that kind of became a little interesting out there.
Yeah, I think there was about 10 minutes left and it just started pouring, but some fans left. I think the majority of them stayed, though. Didn't really make the game any different. It was still a good game, a really good game.
Yeah, so Saskatoon still reigns supreme after, you know, for obviously three seasons in a row. Can you tell us little bit, Amy, about your confrontation with them this year and what you thought your team did, you know, pretty well at this point, or something that you probably need to improve on for next season?
I'm really pleased with my team this year, the Riot this year. We made a lot of accomplishments, and even though we didn't come on top, you know, like we were the first team to beat Saskatoon, so you know, maybe further down the road it'll be in a more important game, but it was definitely a really good year for us. We improved along the road the whole entire season, and I'm looking forward to next year and seeing what we can do next year, because every season's a different season. So
now, Amy, can you tell us a little bit about those two matchups and what you saw in the Valkyrie at this point? I mean, was it something challenging that stood out to you? I mean, something that you guys probably could have done better at this point, but they do pretty well at in terms of maybe their secondary, or maybe their on your side of the ball, obviously the secondary, or their safeties, or their corners. Is there something that stood out for you this time around for the within the two matchups?
Well, there, we played them three times this season. The first time we beat them, I think the score was like 15-7 or 15-8. That game like really showed that defense, that our defense pulled through. Like they had an amazing game, and we were able to just outscore them by the end of the game. But the second game, it was close. It was like 48-45, so it was a high-scoring game, so obviously an offensive game. And then in the playoff game, they beat us by, like, I don't know, 30 points or something like that. And, you know, that was a tough game. We definitely got it handed to us in the first half and tried to fight back in the third quarter and just couldn't get to where we needed to be. But as far as the Valkyries, like, they have a really, really good team. Their running backs are very strong. Their receivers are very strong. And, yeah, hats off to them. They always play really well whenever we play them. So.
Well, and I know from, you know, from the Twitter feeds that we're getting, from the information, the tweets that we're getting, you know, they don't let up. I mean, as soon as they get going, they get into a – it looks like they get into a rhythm. And then they start just, you know, they really start, you know, tacking on points. So would you say that's a fair assessment for them?
Yeah, for sure. They're a really well-coached team, too, so they're not really allowed to let up. But they come out strong, and their initial few plays are what really gets their momentum going for them.
Now, Amy, we talked to Trina Graves of the St. John's Storms of the Maritime. She had some great things to say about you, and she's had limited interaction with you at this point, but she's very excited between you and Sadia to be, you know, obviously heading Team Canada. So can you tell us a little bit about, have you talked to Sadia? I mean, what the game plan is going into, obviously, Vantaa, without having any major details going on here, but, you know, going into the flight and getting out of here. Are you guys leaving on the 22nd? What day are you guys flying out?
Yeah, we leave on the Saturday, 22nd, so the Saturday coming up. We haven't really had much interaction between the East and the West players. I think the goal, like as far as what the coaches wanted us to do, is just really focus on our season and do what we can with our clubs or with our club teams. And once we are done with the league, we're really going to focus on the Team Canada stuff and really build the team when we're practicing in Finland.
Yeah, and I know the Montreal Blitz of season is over, so your guys' season is over. So at this point, it's really just your mental and physical state is going to be just like you said on football. So so are you excited to see who's going to be on the offense side? I mean, do you know who's going to be blocking you, or who's going to be on in the running game for you? Do you have any of the names that the fans can kind of, you know, be on the lookout for in terms of once we get going in Vantaa?
Well, everything's up for grabs right now. They're just pretty much going with they're putting players into positions, but there's not a starting position or a backup position at this point. But I certainly know majority of the girls in the western side of Canada that will be playing. Riot players, Mallory Starkey will be probably playing fullback. Claire Dory will be playing receiving position. And then we have, like, other running backs, like Calgary Rage's Aaron Walton. And then, obviously, Saskatoon Valkyries. We have Marcy Kislik as a receiver and Julie David as a running back. So, yeah, we got a whole bunch of a really strong skilled players that'll be the offensive side.
And how was your fundraising so far? Towards the was it that day? Have you met your goal? Was it something helpful with the fundme, .com account and stuff like that? What's been the outcome so far?
We did pretty well. We had a pizza night and we had a cabaret, and then we just had donations. We had the GoFundMe brought us in some cash. It was helpful. But yeah, and I mean, our province, our football SASC helped us out with some of the funds, and I mean, very few of us, I think, are having to go out of our own pocket, and if so, it's not very much. So.
So that was a great. It was a good positive. In other words, it turned out to be something not so much of a hurdle in that sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great little program, that GoFundMe. It could work for many different things.
Yeah, and I think that was the key. Like I said before, you know, it's something that it can be used for a lot of things, not just, you know, for the season, but it could be used for various other things that you're doing with fundraisers and stuff. And it really gives, it's a good venue, an option to give the fans where they can just go quickly and click, and they donate where you don't have to chase them down so much. It kind of allows them some freedom in that sense. Now, you had some, let's go back to the regular season. You guys had some hiccups with the new teams, the Oko, I can't even say their names. I don't want to botch their names anyways, but you know who I'm talking about. And then the northern Anarchy. So, what do you think of the two new teams in the league? From what you saw or from what you heard, I know you didn't get to play. I only got to play Northern Anarchy, if I'm correct.
No, we didn't get to play either of the new teams.
Oh, didn't? Okay, so I'm wrong. Okay.
No, it's great to see new teams joining the league. I mean, it's certainly a positive for the growth of women's football. I think it's the Northern Anarchy. They have a younger girls league up in the northern part of Alberta there, and that's where we got Berdine Starkey's twin sister to Mallory Starkey, who's on Team Canada. They used to play up there in that region. So it's certainly a positive to see more teams joining the league. I mean, it's something that needs to be done if we want to see this league grow. So.
And I know the Rage has a great relationship with the Stampeders and the Stampeder fan club. So that's a great positive. I mean, as far as I can tell, and from what I've been talking to and tweeting with some of the Rage girls, that's a good start. I mean, if you can get the fan clubs from the fans from some of the CFL clubs, it's going to be a great output, you know, for attendance and everything else in general.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that fans make everything happen. The more people in the network, the more, you know, the more fans you bring in, the more players you bring in to play eventually, and eventually fans' children might be interested in playing. So it's definitely helpful in getting the word out there.
All right. So, Amy, I'm going to pick your brain. I picked Jen's brain. There's a new league in the U.S. states who's going to compensate for about 3 months of play. It's in an indoor arena league, and it's going to cover travel and insurance. What do you think of that? A positive? Is it something that maybe will be a model?
It's an arena league?
Yeah, it's an 8-on-8, 8-on-8 arena, full kit. It's not, lingerie style. So it's basically the same
clothes
as traditional 11-11. So it's kind of like the AFL, the Indoor Arena Football League. So, but the players, it's a women's first. It's, the players are supposed to be compensated for the amount of season only, and obviously they're going to get travel and insurance. So I was going to just get your thoughts on that.
So 8-on-8, are we talking like an O-line, D-line, or is it just like skilled positions?
I think it's just going to be linebackers and corners and safeties. That's usually the only thing on defense. Yeah. So it's going to be, they're going with a squad of 20. 20 to 23 is the normal squad, and they're going to play interchangeably between 8 and 12 players, of course.
Is it being played during the traditional football league time season?
No, it's going to start this June, and I believe it goes June, July, and August, so towards the end of August, right before the NFL season kicks off. It's going to end.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's good as long as it's not taking away players from the traditional side of things. It gives it actually gives players another chance to win and or another chance to play and work on their skills.
Yeah, and we were talking to Jen about it, and she was kind of questioning the fact that if it is traditional 8-on-8, why wasn't why aren't they recruiting traditional 11-on-11 players? So we'll see how it evolves.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, whether you thought that's something that, you know, might work. Do you think it would work in Canada if they did that? I know it's going to be tried out here in the States, but if it goes into a good state, do you think it would work out there where maybe some of you would be inclined to go indoors with 8-on-8 style football?
I think so. I think if women are given the opportunity to play sports at a high level, there's definitely women that are going to be interested in it.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna kind of monitor it for the next month and see how that goes, because, you know, it's one thing to say you're going to compensate. It's another thing to finish the season and actually be a reality. So that's usually what I tell everybody,
right.
You know. It's one thing to blur out a
right.
lot of press release. It's another thing to be factual and actual. So we'll see how it transitions and transforms. So hopefully it's a positive at the end of the season. Maybe somebody did come up with some sort of, you know, nice model for compensation. Maybe it's not a great amount of compensation, but maybe it's something that will compensate within the season. It's still helpful for obviously travel expenses and everything else that you have to cover in that sense. So, Amy, tell us a little bit about what you foresee in Vantaa right now. I know it's probably so early for us to ask you, but are you excited at this point? Are you what are you packing? What are you what kind of music are you putting together? I mean, what's Amy Kowalski's a travel bag it's going to look like right now going towards Vantaa?
Well, pretty simple. I'm not much of a kitchen sink traveling kind of person. So, you know, like a few t-shirts, some shorts, some lazy clothing. I plan on just playing football and sitting in meetings and resting when I'm not doing that. So, you know, nothing crazy.
So now Jen's going to be updating on her Twitter feed. So we were asked a question, and I'll ask you the same question, even though it was directed to her. Will Amy Kowalski be tweeting what's going on in Vantaa within the tournament time?
Yeah, for sure. I hope to do my best with it. I'm not much of a tweeter. but I know lots of people from my hometown, and a lot of my clients are looking for some updates. So I hope to keep my Facebook and my Twitter busy, and as long as there's something to tweet about, I'll try and get it out there.
So now, are we expecting Amy Kowalski pictures of hanging out and just laying out and sleeping and napping prior to the games?
Yeah.
Or on your headset and your headphones and your MP3 player and stuff like that?
On my iPad. I don't know. I like listening to like remixed music, or if I'm just chilling, some Black Keys, that kind of stuff.
So we are going to see the laid back, relaxed, non-intense football look at some point with some picks.
Oh, you want some picks of me hanging out in my hotel room?
I wouldn't say hotel room,
that
but you know what I mean. You know, where you're hanging out, maybe.
Yeah,
just having
my
some
best.
Fun. Awesome. And we are going to be, like I told Jen earlier, we're probably going to be stalking you on Twitter on a daily basis to see what
right.
you're posting, and probably you're probably going to see us and we're going to probably become a headache by saying, oh, this guy's retweeting you forever on everything. But it's because we want to get everybody engaged and figure out, what's going on. And I know, Team USA, Team Canada, kind of like the expectation for most of the fans, unless a surprise happens in the tournament with the other teams, pretty much the expectation is that you guys would probably be back in the final at some point. So I think that's where everybody's kind of anticipating having an exciting anticipation point to see, both of your squads kind of like, maybe play for the gold at this point at the end.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we want to go out hard in every game and make sure that that's the outcome. But I think for the most part, that's what we're planning for.
Awesome. So Amy, thanks for your time for coming on. I appreciate it. I know it's kind of short notice, and I know your season just ended, and you're trying to get, you know, kind of ready for the IFAB World Championships. So I appreciate you having coming on, and I, you know, hopefully the Regina Riot will tackle the Valkyries next season, and hopefully at that point you get your championship, your WCUFL championship. But let's just hope that the gold is a lot better than that to begin with. So hopefully the gold will come before that championship, and that'll be an exciting time for you as well. So can you tell us where you're at on Twitter, where we can follow you on Facebook, and if you have any Instagram or anything that you're going to be doing different from this time around?
Yeah, my Twitter is Amy Kowalski 22. So it's AimeKowalski 22. You can find me on Facebook with the same spelling, Amy Kowalski, and I'll do my best with Instagram, but I think it's just Amy Kowalski 22 again on Instagram.
All right, well, that's great because, like I said, fans are going to want to get engaged with you. So see if you can get your teammates engaged, because the more feedback we get, the more exciting people are going to anticipate, obviously, that you guys are doing well and obviously building up to the tournament itself. For the who is your first opponent at this point? Can you let us know?
Spain, I think.
Spain is your first opponent?
Spain and then Finland and then USA.
All right. So the Spanish team is, probably the new kids on the block, so they'll get to see the top-notch, team first round out. So we'll see how they compete against you, and we'll see if you guys are going to go lightly or are going to completely steamroll, as they say. So, Amy, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you making the time. Safe travels to Finland. Continued success with your business end of it, and a great success for the season of the WWCFL season this season. So we'll look forward to your updates. We'll look forward to getting some feedback from you guys on Twitter and Facebook and see how it is as we build up towards the tournament in Finland.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Amy. Enjoy it, and we'll be talking as soon as you get back, maybe, and see how things went, and we appreciate your time today. Have a great day.
Sounds great. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Amy Kowalski from Football Canada, the Regina Riot of the Western Women's Canadian Football League. And then before that, we had USA Football's Jen Welter of the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Football Alliance. And they're going to be Amy's season already ended. It ended about a week or so ago. And so, like she said, the Saskatoon Valkyries, three-time champs of the Western Women's Canadian Football League. And she plays for the Regina Riot. And Jen is in the midst of the playoffs. They're facing the Austin Outlaws on June 22nd, and they're building up towards the title to the Road to Balboa for the Women's Football Alliance Championship. So let's go into the two-minute huddle because we only got about a couple minutes here. And just to let you know, round two will consist of Pittsburgh at Boston, 8-0 Militia versus Pittsburgh 6-2. It will be DC Divas 5-3 against the Columbus Comets 4-4. The surprising Cleveland Fusion 8-0 face their first challenge, the Juggernaut Chicago Force at 8-0. So two classes of undefeated, proven it winner in Chicago Force. Then you got the Fury, who had a week off basically because the Savannah team obviously forfeited for whatever reason. So 8-0 Miami will face the 8-0 Atlanta Phoenix. Two clashes of 8-0s as well. The Slam, 5-3, taking on the 6-1 KC Titans. The Outlaws facing the always dominant Dallas Diamonds at 8-0. The Utah Jinx, the surprising team of the WFA, I'm going to call it right now, if they go ahead and somehow can overcome the Cal War Angels, I think they have a good chance to go forward in this playoff on the road to Balboa. And then the Champs are in the mix. Once again, the 2012 WFA champions, the San Diego Surge, will take on the Sacramento Sirens at 5-3. So that's your slate for the WFA going into next week. Just to let you know, the Women's Arena Football League kicks off in Dallas, Texas at the American Airlines Arena. It is June 22nd, the return of Linda Brenner, former LFL All-Fantasy for Dallas Desire, and she will be live June 22nd, Dallas, Texas. You can get tickets at the Women's Arena Football League, or you can go to their Facebook at Women's AFL, or on Twitter at WAFL League on Twitter as well, and you can follow the link there for the tickets. So get your tickets early in that sense. The shocking news that came out of LFL Canada was the non-participation of Stephanie Manu stepping away from the BC Angels. She will no longer participate in LFL Canada for the upcoming 2013 season. It's kind of a big blow, but we wish Stephanie all the best. She was an amazing player to watch, and she obviously a no-joke football Hall of Famer in that sense. The Maritime Women's Football League, the MAC-10 Vipers, 38-13 over the Halifax Explosion. The St. John Storm continued their winning ways, 21-18 against the Capital Lady Gladiators. Shout out to Trina Graves for the updates that she was giving us on the Maritime Women's Football League. The three-time in the Western Women's Canadian Football League Championship, it was the three-time champs, well, now the three-time champs, Saskatoon Valkyries, 27-13 over the Lethbridge Steel. Second time Lethbridge has been beaten by Saskatoon in the final. So shout out to Women's Soccer Football Canada, Chat Canada also, and the WWCFL official Twitter site. So we appreciate that. In the LFL slate, we had a triple header. It was the Passion versus Baltimore on YouTube, 20-19. You can still watch it. It's still live at the YouTube channel on the Legends Football League. The Jacksonville Breeze lost to the Philly Passion 21-19 in their debut in PPL Park. Shout out to Deej Gerber for giving us the updates from PPL Park. It was the Breeze falling short 21-19. Their season relies now on help and with some point differential. So Omaha Heart, they beat the Breeze the week before that, and now they went into Cleveland, and Cleveland gets their first win 12-0. 12-0 is the victory. Teresa Petrozzolo, Tamar Fennell, Tia Nipper, the real deal at this point, and shouts out to Dante Howard for an amazing job in getting his team over the hump. And they came close last year, very close to winning, and this year they get the first franchise win at home in the Crush Pound at the Quicken Loans Arena. So that's going to do it for us this week. If you have any information you need, you can go to our Twitter feed. You can go to @IWFL for the latest on the Independent Women's Football League on Twitter as well. For Amy Kowalski and Jen Welter, I thank them for coming on. We will be here next week for a new edition of Women's Gridiron Radio, which is Gridiron Beauties Radio, No Joke Football. We'll be here next week with a new guest, whether it be a traditional or non-traditional player. And we look forward to that next week. Happy Father's Day to everybody that is enjoying their day today. And we look forward to next week, Gridiron Beauties Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This has been Oscar Lopez, and we'll see you next Sunday for another amazing day of Women's Gridiron Radio.